I feel we need to go right into where God is leading us here tonight. If you've never experienced speaking another language as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, God would like to bring you to that place tonight, to be born of the Spirit. If it's been a long time or a while or since you've had that experience, God would like you to have that experience again, to have confidence. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, there's waters that are warm here tonight. John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, God robed in flesh said, truly, truly, I've done all this so that you could be born again. Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, what's the other choice? What's the other path? There is no other path. There is no other choice. You know, tonight what we ought to pray is, God, if you have it for me, I want it. If there's more to this, then I need to experience it. I might not understand it. It may be years of not understanding or something new I've just come in contact with for the first time, regardless of our background. God, if there is more for me, I want it. And I need you to speak it to me, and then I need to experience it. Would you pray that prayer with me tonight? God, Lord, we want it all. We want whatever you have, God. We don't want to let our traditions, God, our background, our lacking or great substance get in the way of whatever it is that you have for us here tonight, God. Lord, I ask, Lord, in your name, Jesus, that your Spirit would move freely in this place, God, that there would be a great outpouring, God, for the latter rain shall be greater than the former. Lord, we are in those days, God. Pour out your Spirit in this place. Let truth go forth, God, and let it accomplish your will. It's in Jesus' name we ask it tonight. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I know this is an ongoing policy, but I just want to reiterate it tonight. We have an open altar policy. What does that mean? That means that at any point in time, regardless of what else is going on in the service, if you feel God tugging at your heart, you have liberty, you have freedom, you have the open invitation to come up to an altar to say, God, I want to respond. And tonight we're going to have an altar call, and I promise you God is going to demonstrate himself to you here tonight. I was thinking back in my mind, it was 2 years ago, this January, since my snowboarding accident. If you weren't around then, I broke my ankle, my left ankle, severely. And I thank God that I can even walk here today, that I can do things, even if it's at a little bit slower pace. But it was that Wednesday night in January, the very next Wednesday after that Saturday accident, that I was scheduled to teach a similar lesson, how to receive the Holy Ghost down in Power Hour, almost 2 years ago. And so, of course, I was bedridden for almost 3 months. And so that Wednesday night that I was scheduled, as the children found out that I wasn't going to be able to make it there, I was told that one of the young girls, with much disappointment, said, well, now I'll never get the Holy Ghost. Apparently, Brother Vilwak may have been building me up a little bit too much, perhaps. She had put more faith in me than maybe she had for herself and God, but of course, she didn't need me to receive the Holy Ghost. Because I can't give anyone God's Spirit. But what I can do is I can point people, young and old, in a direction towards God, and I can encourage them and speak words of faith. That's what I can do. And it was well over a year later that I eventually did get to teach that lesson, and how to receive the Holy Ghost in Power Hour. There were numerous young children, ages 4 to 12, that spoke in a language they had never learned, some for the very first time, some for a second or third time, and God moved in such a great way. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with them and God. Uttering words under the power of God's Spirit. Because Acts chapter 2, verse 39 says, the promise is unto you and to your children. There's no age limit. There's no age requirement. A willing vessel at any age is a vessel that God wants to fill. And tonight, God wants to fill someone here. To have the experience speaking under the unction of the Holy Ghost, whether it's for the first time or whether it's been for not for a long time, God wants this experience for everyone. To be baptized in the water for the remission of sins and to be baptized with the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And turning again to our opening text in John chapter 3, verse 5, when Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again, Jesus chose his words very carefully, because this born again experience was the most accurate illustration Jesus could possibly choose to what takes place in the supernatural when somebody is born again. Nicodemus followed up the question that with this, asking Jesus, "What do you mean to be born again? How is that possible? How can I, as I'm old now, go back into my mother's womb? This doesn't make sense." And today, the world is even still asking that very same question. What does it mean to be born again? Popular culture would tell you can be born again simply by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But if that was true, Jesus could have used so many other illustrations that would have been much more appropriate, much more aligned with popular culture. Jesus could have said an illustration like, "Nicodemus, just accept this gift that I give to you, and you can enter the kingdom of God." Or he could have said, "Nicodemus, if you'll just believe in me, shake my hand, and you will be saved." He could have given illustrations, but no, he said, "You must be born again, born of the water, born of the Spirit." Because this born-again experience mimics what happens in the natural much more than coincidence. These aren't just these are choice words that Jesus speaks. As anyone is filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a similar labor that takes place and a travail that takes place and a delivery room at this altar. As the water breaks, we know it's time to have the baby because the water is broken. And the baby takes its first breath and it breathes in. The thing that comes out is a cry, a noise. Born of the water, born of the Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." God wants to fill everyone with his Spirit. He has made provision for all. When he paid the price on Calvary, it was for the sin of the world. Not just the sin of a few people on Airline Road at Apostolic Faith Church. God is ready to fill our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, our family with his Spirit. And by the end of this message, if you've never experienced the power of God, born of the Spirit, today is your day. You don't have to wait for another time. And if you've already had that experience of being born of the Spirit, by the end of tonight's message, each and every one of us will be able to work as midwives ordained to help deliver new births into his kingdom. And I can promise you, this is what the church is for. This is why we're assembled. This is why we have walls and heat and lights and sound and create an atmosphere of worship. It's not to have good church. It's for reproduction. Born of the water, born of the Spirit. The church is here to expand God's kingdom, to propagate the gospel, to reproduce after ourselves as we have this experience. It is to give others that same opportunity to have that same experience. In our opening text, Jesus said that everyone else needs to be born again. And born of the water, born of the Spirit, while this evening we're going to focus on being born of the Spirit, I don't want to forego touching on being born of the water. And so just briefly, let me share with you what it means to be born of the water. It parallels the natural birth. You know it's time to deliver the baby when the water breaks, and baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins is part of that being born again process. Behind this curtain, we have a tank filled with warm water at all times. We have baptismal robes, so you don't have to go home in wet clothes. You can at any moment make a decision that says, "Hey, I need to have this experience. I want to conform," and it can happen here tonight. Having the name of Jesus as you go down in the waters, fully immersed, having the name of Jesus Christ called over you for the remission of your sins, it's a step of obedience. It's not like the water has something magical in it, but the obedience has a blessing and a promise in it. It's a breaking of the water. It's a birth. And we fulfill in that step of the new birth of baptism what Jesus said when he said, you must be born of the water. Tonight, regardless of whether we're talking about being baptized in the water for remission of our sins or being filled with the Holy Ghost, repentance is the first step to either. Confessing our sins to God is compared to dying to oneself. As we read in the scriptures, Romans chapter 6 helps to further clarify what it means to be born again, to be buried with him in baptism. Well, you can't be buried except you're dead. And we're not physically dead. That would be a different kind of burial. No, a water baptism, a water burial is a dying to oneself. It's a recognition that I have a need of a Savior, I have sin, and there's only one solution for this weight that's on my shoulders. It's to have it washed away in the blood of the innocent man, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for my sin, who from the foundation of the earth knew that there would be a price to pay and was willing to do it. When we're washed in his blood, when we go down in the waters, we are buried with him because we've repented. So we can't put someone down except they repent. There's times when we want to allow them into that. They see the recognition, but yet if they haven't repented, they're not a candidate for baptism. And the same condition is true for being filled with the Spirit. An individual will never receive the Spirit of God except they recognize their need for a Savior, except they recognize the need to confess with their lips and to repent of their sins. And similarly, just like you can't bury someone that hasn't died, you can't be resurrected unless you're dead. And so when we're filled with the Spirit, we must have died at an altar of repentance, died to ourselves, died to our old ways, turned around, going in a different direction, and seeking God. And God says, yes, I can work with that. I can take a repentive heart in the waters of baptism or in the baptism of the Spirit, speaking another language that we never learn, because we've died at an altar. Regardless of where we're at in the process, you know, many of us have repented, and then we've repented, and then we've repented again, and then there is a moment, an opportunity when we do step into that new life filled with the Holy Ghost. And maybe in that time we were now worshiping, but if we haven't repented, more often than not, I see individuals, young and old, being filled with the Spirit of God as they start to verbalize the things that they're sorry for. It's key in this process of conforming to the new birth, the birth in the Spirit, is to speak it out loud. We can't be born filled with the Holy Ghost in our minds. We can't do it. We speak words out loud, and oftentimes those words start with repentance, and then they lead to worship, and whichever the order, it's always out loud. So now that we know that we must receive the Spirit of God to be born again, the next question is, how do I know if I actually received the Holy Ghost? And to answer that question, we can turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. It says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Just like a newborn, when the baby takes their first breath, when they take in that air, it comes out with a cry, and you know that the baby's been born. The water's been broken, the air's been taken in, and a cry goes out, a sound. As the Spirit of God fills an individual, there'll always be a sound, there'll always be a sign, born of the Spirit. A new sound comes out of their mouth, a language they never learned. And even as a newborn, sometimes that language doesn't sound a lot like a language, but it develops, and soon it becomes articulated. And Jesus told Nicodemus, there will be a sound. In John chapter 3, verse 6, it says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. There'll be a sign. You'll hear a sound, like the wind as it runs through the trees. You even will see the result of the wind, right, as the tree branches blow. And that, so it is with everyone that receives the Spirit of God. There's always a sound. There's always a sign. It's a confirmation that a new birth has taken place. You can't see the Spirit, but you can see the effects of the Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And it's God's desire and plan for every one of us to have this experience, this newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When does that happen? When we're born again. Some will say, like myself, well, that's not what I was taught. That's not what I was told as a young person, as a child. And I know how you feel, because when I grew up going to church, I didn't grow up in this church, I wasn't taught anything about the new birth experience. I had never even heard of such a thing as speaking in tongues until I walked into this church. So how does that happen? How did I go to church for 20 years and never hear of such a thing as speaking in tongues? How is that possible? Well, many of you have had that same experience, and I'm grateful still for the foundation that was laid in those early years. I grew up in a good family that loved God, believed in the Word of God. But during all those years being faithful to church, eventually I got frustrated because I just didn't have the ability to actually live the life that I knew I should, what I read in the book. No one told me there was more. I didn't realize there was this overcoming power that God wants to put inside of me that will actually cause me to change my desires, that will cause me to want to do the things that I didn't want to do and to not do the things I want to do, and that as long as I continue to use that gift, I can have an overcoming life in Christ, that there is actually a path to success. And in fact, now I realize he guarantees it. If you will continue, you will not fall. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a promise and a guarantee that God's Spirit always works. And for years I was taught, like many of us were, that all we had to do was accept the Lord as our Savior, and but we realized there wasn't the power and the promise that came with that. And I remember as a young person, I accepted him over and over again, never feeling fulfilled, until one day when he actually brought that new birth to come to pass in my life. And now there was no question what had happened. I didn't understand it at the time, but there was no question what I had experienced, speaking another language, born of the water, born of the Spirit. So considering the misinformation that is in Christianity at large, the misunderstandings, and again, we're not here to tear down anyone's experience, but God wants to add to it, right? I'm grateful for the foundation that was laid in my life. God used that to build something on top of it. And so we're never here to tell somebody, hey, you're all wrong. But we are trying to, as the Lord will allow us, to put something in addition to what they have. God, if it's for me, if you have it for me, I want it. And so now as I approach someone at the altar, it's no longer, well, have you received the Holy Ghost? Because if you would have asked me that when I was a young person, I would have said, yes, of course. I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And so do many people that come into this place that haven't yet had that experience. And so rather than ask them if they've received the Holy Ghost, what I ask now is, have you ever had the experience of speaking in other tongues? Well, no, I don't think I have. All right, well, now we can work with that. See, tonight I'm going to share with you some approaches to being a midwife, to deliver a baby. At the same time, I'm certain that God wants to deliver some babies here tonight. And so we're going to work both ends of the process in parallel. And so wherever you're at, this is for you tonight. I remember that night when I came to the altar. In fact, I think it was probably maybe my second trip ever to the altar. I had been to church 5 or 6 times, and that Sunday night, something in me just said, you ought to go up there. And I did. And it honestly, it was a little uncomfortable because there was a mob of people that showed up around me. I was a hard case, and they were excited about this opportunity. And yeah, in reality, it didn't deter me or stop me, but it was a little bit strange. You know, there was a lot of people around me, and they were praying in the Spirit, and I don't know anything about this stuff. And I remember, you know, to a degree, it was maybe a little bit distracting and even a little bit frightening. And I wish everyone could say that their experience at the altar, first time at the altar, was different. But over the years, some very strange things have taken place at times. But for this church, as we go forward, you know, we're not going to make anyone feel uncomfortable by mobbing them, and we don't. You know, this is a long time ago. You know, think about it. You're new here, and you feel God tugging on your heart, and so you accept the invitation to the altar. You didn't invite 20 people to come around you and gather and lay hands on you, did you? No, you just felt God leading you, and you said yes. And so we need to be sensitive. You know, so there's times when we don't need to pray with them. We just need to let them talk to God, because this may be their first trip to that place of laying it all out there for God. And we should be ourselves led by the Spirit. We should let God say, you know what, I feel I need to go over there to that person, that individual. Not just go over there just because they're new here and this is their first time up. And so we need to be sensitive to them, their needs, the place in which they're at, and then the leading of God's Spirit in ourselves, so that when we do approach them, we should not just lay hands on them and start praying in tongues. We should introduce ourselves, right? Hi, my name's Mike. What's your name? You know, just normal things that you would do if you met somebody for the first time. And at the altar, as God prompts us, as God directs us, as we meet that person, we should shake their hand and let them know we're glad that they're here. While I can't give anyone the Holy Ghost, I can certainly speak words of encouragement. And as an example, I apply this approach at junior camp. At the beginning of the week, I get a clipboard, or I get a list of names and then put them on a clipboard. In fact, I was going through my files and I found some of my junior camp pictures here filled with campers. And inside of these little Ziploc bags with their pictures is a list of their names. And every year as they come in, I greet them and check them in. And as they're unpacking their things, I'll go around and introduce myself to them, ask them their name, and then I'll ask them, question, well, have you ever had that experience of speaking another language as the Spirit of God gives the utterance? And they'll be like, yes, or maybe, or no. And then I quickly follow that up with a, well, would you like to? And I 9 out of 10 times get a yes. And so I make a little note, you know, yes, no, maybe. Or if they say yes, then I'll follow up with, well, when was the last time? Well, I don't remember. Oh, so it's been a while. Yeah, it has been a while since I spoke in tongues. Well, would you like to have that experience again this week? Yes, I would. Great. You're going to have it. Words of affirmation. These are the things that we can do. We don't fill anybody with the Holy Ghost, but we can point them in the direction and we can affirm the steps that they're taking, because God does want to fill them. He absolutely wants them to have the experience. And lo and behold, as the week goes on, so many of these young people that said, I want to have that experience, have that experience. I would say 90% of those that say yes have what they were seeking, because God is just so willing and able. And it was interesting, in one particular instance, this young man named Dylan, he was one, when I asked him that question, he said, yes, I've received the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, how long ago? He's like, oh, it was a while ago. And then after the days went on, that Wednesday night, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And as we celebrated with soda and candy in our dorm, he announced to the whole dorm, well, that was nothing like the experience I had way back when. Because he didn't actually have that experience way back when. This was the first time. This wasn't the second time. And why was that? Because somebody told him he had it. So we have to be very careful in these instances that we're not telling somebody the experience they had unless they actually had it. And so there's many times when we're at the altar, especially as we start in this walk with God and we start seeking God and we realize how real God wants to be, that there's tears running down our face. We're feeling the presence of God. Maybe even our lips are quivering, but we haven't yet spoken a word. We haven't been born of the Spirit according to the Bible. And so we need to be careful not to put a stamp on the presence of God as if it's the infilling of God's Spirit. There needs to be a sound. There always is evidence, like a baby that's born. And Dylan confirmed that you know, for years he had thought he had the Spirit of God because someone told him he did, when in fact he was just filled that Wednesday night at junior camp. And so rather than tell anyone what just happened at the altar, we should always approach them with a question, not an answer. Do you know what just happened? And oftentimes they're like, no, I don't know. I mean, when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I didn't really know. I mean, I kind of became a little familiar with it by then. And if they say, no, I don't know what happened, we'll say, well, do you know what the words were that you were speaking? Were those words that you knew? And they'll be like, no, I don't know what I was saying. Well, what do you think that means? I think that means I got the Holy Ghost. Yes, that's right. You got the Holy Ghost because I heard it. And so we just need to be very careful that we're not putting an affirmation on the step that they're taking. At the same time, we need to be very careful also to celebrate every step they take. In our minds, this is what should happen because we know this is what should happen and this is what God wants to do, but we don't know where they're at in the process. This could be their very first trip to the altar. This could be the very first time they ever prayed out loud. I remember there was a French exchange student here named Victor who had spent almost the whole summer here with the family, and I could see every service he came, he got a little bit closer. You know, first he started worshiping, then he started coming up to the altar, then he started lifting his hands and praying, and it was that last service before he was going to fly back home to France. And I could just see God touching him in a powerful, mighty way. And so I said, Victor, can we pray? And he's like, yeah, of course. And so we started to pray. But Victor wasn't speaking out loud. He was praying in his mind. And so I'm praying with him. He's praying in his mind. And after a little while, I pause and I say, Victor, the Bible says that if we're... God wants us to confess with our lips and that we need to speak it out loud, and so we should pray out loud. He's like, oh, it works better if it's out loud? I'm like, yeah, Victor, it works better if it's out loud. Let's both ask God to forgive us out loud. But you know what, Victor? It's just between you and God, and so why don't you pray out loud in French, and I'll pray out loud in English? It's not my business what you need to talk to God about. And I just want you to be free. I don't want you to think about it. You know, being a foreign exchange student, he was pretty proficient in English, but just let it out. And so as Victor started to pray in French and I started to pray in English and we repented together, it wasn't very long before Victor was speaking another language. And I don't know French, but I know what French sounds like enough to know that what he was saying was not French nor English. And at the end, I asked him, I said, well, what were those words? He's like, I don't know, with a big smile on his face. Well, what was that, Victor? I think that was the Holy Ghost. That was the Holy Ghost, Victor. And you can have that same experience as often as you want. This is not the end. This is the beginning. So using that example, here's some more practical things to consider anytime we become a midwife at the altar as God directs us to some individual who's seeking the Spirit of God or just seeking more of God. When we introduce ourselves, for years I would just go up and just pray with them, right? Pray with them from behind, laying my hand on their shoulder, obviously not for a first-time visitor, but someone who I knew had been seeking the Lord. And there's no way to introduce yourself from behind, right? You can't give them direction or speak words of encouragement when you're standing behind them. And so at some point, if we're trying to help them, we need to actually engage them in a way where we can talk to them like we normally would, face to face. And so first we need to be able to get their attention. And it's okay at times to interrupt them in order to help them, to give them some direction again with the Lord's leading and prompting. And so as we're directing them, as we're engaging with them, as we're talking to them, we need to reassure them that we're glad they're here, that this is God that they're feeling. I mean, we can often see it, right? We can see the evidence. We need to affirm that evidence to them. Like, they don't know that it's God. They might just be experiencing this for the first time, and they don't know what they're experiencing. And they're like, do you feel something? Like, duh, there's tears coming out of their eyes, and their lips are shaking. And it's like, I know they're feeling something, but I'm going to say it anyways, so that they can recognize, oh, that's God. Yes, that you're feeling something. Are you feeling something? Yes, I am. That's God. Can we pray? Can I pray with you? And all of a sudden now we've got a conversation going. Okay, let's pray. You know what we ought to do? Let's repent. And not just you repent because you're a first-time visitor here. No, we're going to repent because we all need to repent all the time. For all have sinned and fallen short. And so as we're engaging with someone who God is certainly wanting to deliver, to be born again, born of the water, born of the Spirit. We should go with the principle that less is more. There's a point in which time too much information is way too much information. The altar is not a place to teach a 12-week Bible study, to explain the oneness of God and Acts 2:38. No, we're here and we're experiencing something right now. And so our job isn't to teach them a Bible study. Our job is to speak words of faith and encouragement and point them in the direction and reaffirm what you're feeling and what you're doing is of God. And so, as little information as we can share, without giving instruction, just guidance and encouragement. Because you don't have to understand the Bible to have this experience. I certainly didn't. I had started a Bible study. I think I was a few lessons into it. But what I was feeling was what was most important at that moment in time. There was God tugging at my heart. And so without any coaching, words started to come out of my mouth after I had repented, after I had started to just unload what I was sorry for. And so it's not an altar worker's job in every sense of the word to get a person from wherever they're at to speaking in tongues, because every step is important. And so we need to affirm every step. You know, if we have the privilege to be a part of the process at all, to speak words of faith, to guide them, to be a witness of them being filled with the Holy Ghost, we need to be careful that we don't try to work this up ourselves, that we might even start to pat ourselves on the back somehow. It's not us who fills them. We, you know, even, and forgive me, some people may not appreciate this, but I was so grieved once, not here at camp, I heard someone bragging to someone else about how many people they prayed through. Let me tell you, God resists the proud and is close to the meek. Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord's nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be a contrite spirit." So let me go on the record as saying, I've never prayed anyone through. I've been privileged to be a witness, to speak words of encouragement, of faith, but it's God who fills them with the Holy Ghost. Simon the sorcerer was confused about this principle. He thought somehow he could buy this power of laying on hands and receiving the Holy Ghost, but we don't transmit the Holy Ghost even with the laying on of hands. We're just simply praying in obedience with the Word of God. And there is an element of faith that we bring to the equation, but are my prayers hindered because I'm not laying my hands on you? No, I can pray for you whether my hands are laid on you or not. And so even in that sense, we don't want to mob them at the altar, we don't want to crowd them, and we need their permission. Can I pray for you? Can I lay my hands on you? Yes, all right. These are invitations now to start to encourage and speak words of faith. And of course, the Bible does give that example of laying on of hands, and that's simply what we're doing. We're being obedient to the Word of God, to give encouragement. And sometimes we do maybe give a little bit too much information at the altar. Or maybe sometimes we have too many people giving directions at the same time. And so anytime we feel God is leading us to an individual that's seeking the Lord, whoever engages with them first should be the person that continues to lead and encourage them as the primary one. You know, as soon as there's more than one voice giving directions, like, say this, do this, bow down, stand up, raise your hands, fall before the Lord, right? By the way, we should probably never say any of those things. Just, we're encouraging them. Yes, what your experience is, God. Would you like to have that experience tonight? Have you ever had that experience of speaking in other tongues? No, would you like it? Yes, you can have it. God wants to give it to you. Let's pray. Let's repent. Less is more. We're just here to encourage them, and we have the privilege of being that person. And in fact, most of the time spent in prayer isn't even in English, as someone who's there as the midwife to see a new birth take place in the church. I'm praying in the Spirit more than I'm speaking in English to that individual as an example, as an encouragement, just to simply let them know that there's words that are going to come out that don't sound like anything you've ever heard before, and here's some examples. Less is more. You see, here's a little secret. There's no secret words I can whisper in their ear that will fill them with the Holy Ghost. It is one of the hardest questions to answer, in fact, when somebody asks, well, how do I receive it? You just got to experience it. I can't give you any more specifics. Well, here's what I can do. Let's repent. Oh, let's repent out loud. Let's seek the Lord together. You're feeling it, aren't you? Yes, I am. God wants to fill you. But I can't. I certainly would never, you know, start to give you words to say or try to repeat. No. We need to just speak it out loud. And here's where I see most people challenged. It doesn't matter if they're young or old. There's an element of our own pride and self-will that does not want to speak words out loud, or at least not out loud enough for anybody to hear. And not that we're here to listen to what you have to say to God, but if your own flesh gets in the way of you being able to communicate out loud and to confess with your lips, well, then it will be very difficult to be filled with His Spirit, because there's always a sign that's out loud. But the moment that we get over ourselves and we realize that it didn't matter anyways, and that there's music playing loud enough, nobody can hear what I'm going to say to God regardless, that's when all of a sudden there's a step across a threshold into a place where God can move in a greater dimension, where all of a sudden English turns into a language we never learned, but there still has to be words spoken, mouths moved, air pushed out of lungs. God doesn't turn us into a puppet and move our mouths or make us speak in another language. We take a step. Oftentimes, I'll compare it to the step that Peter took out of the boat when Jesus said, come, and he says, well, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'll just take a step out of the boat onto the water and we'll find out together. It's a lot like that with the Holy Ghost. How does this work? I can tell you God wants to fill you. Here's what it sounds like. We've had this experience. You can have it too, but you have to actually take the step. You have to move your mouth. You have to push the air out of your lungs. But whatever sound comes out, trust that He's going to meet you there. With the kids downstairs, when I was in Power Hour, I used the example of riding a bike. Right? When we learn to ride a bike, there's this element of, like, we see other kids riding bikes, and I want to ride a bike, and then we get on it, and we're like, so if I just push on this pedal and I push off, how does it not tip over? Right? There's this, at some point you just have to go for it. You just have to put your foot on the pedal and push off the ground, and yeah, maybe you take one crash, and you say, oh, I'm going to get up and do it again, and then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, this is how this works. And you're just riding. It's a lot like that with the Holy Ghost. There's a certain point in which you have to take a leap of faith and trust that God's word is true and that you want this experience, and what you're feeling is, in fact, God, and He is for you. He's not against you. And so regardless of what happens, this is where at times maybe the right step was just simply coming to the altar. Maybe the next step was simply praying out loud. There's so many people that just haven't prayed out loud. And so that's a huge thing, to go from praying in your mind to God to speaking words out loud in a place with a bunch of people I don't know. That's a huge step. And so we just need to get comfortable praying out loud with the music playing loud enough so no one else can hear you, but not so loud that I can't talk to you, sound people, just so you know. And now we're in a place where, well, now we can take another step and another step and another step. And so whatever step they took, we need to affirm that as a good step. We need to celebrate every trip to the altar as a win. You know, there's times when I've heard it said, and so again, please forgive me if you've said this, just in the future, just don't say it anymore. You were so close. Next time you'll get there. You know, these are things that are saying like, well, you failed, but, you know, we're here on Sundays twice a week and Wednesdays, and so come back next time and we'll give it another try. No, you just won, my friend. You just prayed at the altar. You just prayed out loud. You just got a hold of God. You just took a step from way back there to up here. Woohoo! We're excited for what God is doing. Did you feel God? I felt God. We felt God. This is awesome. And so let's not ever discount whatever step is the step that an individual's taking, because if you really think back, there was some steps that you took that were, you know, one after another that led to the place that God revealed this truth to you, birthed Himself in you, born of the water, born of the Spirit. So picking up again in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue, wherein we were born? See, these sounds that come out are a language, and some of them are languages that are languages of mankind, maybe languages that are forgotten or languages that are foreign to us. There's been many testimonies of people as they pray in the Spirit, or God fills them with the Spirit, as they start to speak in the language that's known to somebody else there but unknown to themselves. The Bible also says that we'll speak with tongue of men and of angels, and so there's heavenly languages that are spoken. Regardless of what they are, God uses language as evidence of having taken up residency. James chapter 3, verse 8 says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." So perhaps God chose the hardest thing that is to control, that is our mouth, as the evidence of his Spirit indwelling within us, like a rudder of a ship steers a boat. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, "For the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God." This outward sign of God's Spirit dwelling in us gives us confidence that we are indeed his and that he is ours. And so it's important not just to have this experience once. We need to have it over and over and over again. I remember when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you what Sister Schumacher told me. She said, "Now, Michael, speaking in tongues, you will develop a language over time, and it's a lot like riding a bike. The first time, it's a little shaky. Second time, a little shaky, but not as bad as the first time. And then by the third or fourth time, you're just riding around the block like nobody's business." It's like that with the Holy Ghost. If you had this experience once, that's good. If you had this experience twice, that's better. But we need to get to the place where we can have this experience at any time. This Spirit of God in us, not that God withdraws the Spirit from us, but as we exercise it, it is a tool that prays his perfect will into our lives and those that are around us according to his will. So what are the requirements to be filled with the Spirit? Well, number one, you'd have to be a believer, right? And so when we read, if you believe, then you'll be saved. Well, that's the starting point. You have to believe. Otherwise, why would you come up to an altar? Number two, you have to repent. You have to acknowledge your need for a Savior. You have to confess with your lips. You have to tell God and from your heart, "Here's what I'm sorry for." Not that we'll remember everything we've ever done, but as much as we can be specific. Those generic prayers of like, "God, just forgive me for the wrong things I did," may not cut it. "God, here's what I'm sorry for. Here's what I've done wrong. Here's what I don't want to do. Here's the situation that my life has become, and it's a mess, and I did it, and I'm at fault, and I acknowledge it to you out loud, verbally. God, I'm sorry. I'm in need of a Savior." See, this gift of the Holy Ghost isn't something we earn. It's not something we produce. It's not some magic words. It's just simple transparency, simple steps of obedience. The only condition to be filled with the Holy Ghost is that we have repented, that we've died to self, because now we can be resurrected. The only condition to be baptized is to have repented, and so both lead to either option, and ultimately we need to be born of the water, born of the Spirit. But for me, I was born of the Spirit first. We don't have to be baptized before God can fill us with his Spirit, but oftentimes we come from a Bible study and we have an understanding, and we see what God is asking us to do, and we say, "Oh, baptism, I understand that." You put a robe on, you get wet, somebody calls out the name of Jesus over you, come back up. Like, I can make sense of that. Oh, the Holy Ghost. That one's a little bit trickier to understand. And so it's common for people to be baptized before they're filled with the Holy Ghost, but it's not a requirement. I certainly didn't have that in my life. But as I was filled with the Spirit, Brother Tim Hoffman came up to me, and after I just had this amazing experience with God, he's like, "Do you want to get baptized? Have you ever been baptized?" "No." "Do you want to get baptized?" "Yeah." Whatever you tell me to do right now, I will do it without question or hesitation. And I came up out of those waters with a weight that was lifted from my shoulders I didn't even know was there. I had no real understanding, except I knew that God was tugging on my heart. Tonight, God is tugging on somebody's heart. Would you stand with me as the musicians come? Church, I got a call from Culver's today. They want to know where you've been. I assured them we're just fasting. Some of us, here this week, if you were here Sunday morning, you heard the message on fasting. It's just simple obedience. just like we've been reading the Word of God each day for 60 days. It's simple obedience. Not something fancy, not something, you know, done up with big lights and fireworks, but just simple obedience. Just a little bit of truth each day. It goes a long way. And then when we don't just skip over the part that comes after the Lord's Prayer that says, well, when you pray, pray like this, and when you fast, fast like this. Say, oh, okay, I'm gonna read that part too, Lord. And in simple obedience of foregoing some food in order to kill this flesh, all of a sudden the Spirit of God can rise up in its place. I assured Culver's that we'll be back by Sunday at the latest, if not Saturday, and I appreciate every one of you who have decided to take a step in obedience. I promise you, whatever step you've taken is valuable. Every step we take is valuable. And tonight, as we open up this altar, if you've never repented, if you've never prayed out loud, tonight would be a good night to come to this altar just to tell God what's been going on. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I promise you, God wants to fill you tonight. And if you'll repent, if you'll speak words out loud, if you'll take a step of faith with Him, I promise you, He'll show up and demonstrate to you how real He wants to be and give you an experience like none other. If you've never been washed in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, tonight is your night. God is wanting to bring something new or refresh something that was old, something that you thought was lost. If you've had this experience a while ago and it's been some time since you spoke in tongues, spoke in a language, God wants to refresh that tonight. He wants to give you confidence. The Spirit beareth witness to itself that we are His. And if you've had all of these experiences, and tonight God is wanting to prepare you for harvest, prepare you to be led to an individual, prepare you to speak words of faith and encouragement, knowing that we can't fill anybody. He fills them, and He is going to. Would you come to this altar tonight? Would you feel the Lord tugging at your heart? Would you answer the call?